good to see you. And after much preparation, we're almost here. We're almost at Christmas. We meet on the fourth Sunday in Advent, preparing for Christmas. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for welcoming us here today. Pray that by your Spirit we may see Jesus. We may know your love. We may feel close to you. We know that you understand us because you became one of us. Gather us together, close to your heart. Amen. Next Sunday, there will be no service. That's the 27th. There'll be no service here, but we will be meeting on Christmas Day at 10:30. So we look forward to seeing those who can come on that occasion. Right, we now come to our candle lighting, our Advent candles. I'm always pleased when the Jessops come, because here we have Paul and Liz and Connie, who are becoming experts at the candle lighting now. So they're on standby. They know this is their duty, which is really good. And I always like when we come to this service, because we light four candles. And there's always one or two people who immediately go back to the two Ronnie's sketch as I say that. It's good to have a smile on our faces. So we're going to be lighting four candles today. And so as these guys get themselves ready, let's just remember, who's the first one for? The patriarchs. Abram, Isaac, and Jacob were promised that their seed, their descendant, would be a blessing to all nations. This Advent candle is all about Jesus. The patriarchs, who's their seed, who is Jesus, to be a blessing to all nations. The second one is who? The prophets. They foretold the coming of Jesus, every one of them. Jesus the Messiah. The third one was for John the Baptist. He prepared the way for Jesus by preaching repentance. And so our fourth candle, we heard all about last week as Sheila brought the message to us. Who's the fourth candle for?
Mary.
Oh, isn't that good? People know. So can we have our four candles lit, please? Liz is going to remember today, you can't blow candles out or matches out with a visor on, because she's learnt. Feel free to walk round the candle. I don't want anybody getting burned today. Thank you very much. Mary, the mother of Jesus. That's why she's the favoured one. That's why she's special, because she was a young girl chosen to be the mother of Jesus, the one who brought him into the world. Sheila told us last week how the angel Gabriel came to Mary, telling her how God had favored her. Our first reading this morning describes how Jesus came to be born to Mary.
The reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7, on page 1027. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own hometown. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them.
And our first song, our first carol, describes the scene in our little town of Bethlehem. I know this will be really difficult today not to sing, but I'm expecting really good humming. And if you want to speak the words, then speak the words. These are old, traditional, and very precious words. A little town of Bethlehem. We're now going to have our second reading, which Andrew's going to bring for us. The baby's been laid in the food trough. What's going to happen next?
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
And so we sing our second carol, or hum our second carol, which is "While Shepherds Watched," which retells the story we've just heard.
Fear not, said he, for I see.
It's a wonderful thought that our brothers and sisters in the Chit Valley churches in America are those who've led us so often through these last weeks and months, and that's another song that they've given us. So we celebrate these this time of Christmas in traditional ways, but with also it reinforces that we celebrate this with people all over the world. It's a precious time. So we have a pack, and as usual, Connie's on it. This today is our colouring that Connie's working on, and these bring to life the Christmas stories. You've got an outline. Leslie did this one. She drew this one, and it's an outline, but it's got no colour in it. And colouring in brings it to life. And these words on a page are what we've heard read, but it's the Holy Spirit who brings them to life. And that's why we always pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to us through this word that we've heard. So what is Christmas all about? Somebody I heard on the news, what we've heard several times, Christmas is cancelled. Is Christmas cancelled? Hallelujah. Christmas can't be cancelled because Jesus was born 2,000 years ago. And Christmas is about the birth of a baby. So you cannot cancel something that happened already 2,000 years ago and has been celebrated ever since and will always be celebrated. But it was in itself a very ordinary, everyday event. We've all been there. You were all present, weren't you, when you were born? You've all been there. You've all been born. Today, I'm told, around 350,000 babies will be born. So there's nothing unusual about a baby being born. It's amazing, but it's not unusual. But two teenagers having a baby who was conceived before they were properly married and where the husband's not the father was very unusual at the time. Even our soaps now might only very occasionally come up with that sort of line. But in those days, the shame would have been huge. There was something else unusual about the birth. Due to Mary and Joseph's relatives' guest room being full, they ended up having the baby in a room where the animals lived. Now we've got some beautiful pictures here, and this comes later. This is a nice bed and a nice room. That's where the Magi came to see Jesus when he was in a house where he was staying. But on the night in question, it'd be the lower room here, where the animals were. That's where the shepherds came to find them. They couldn't bring a crib with them on the long walk from Nazareth to Bethlehem, so they had to put Jesus in the animal's food trough, a manger. Being poor was one thing, but this was horrible. I don't imagine any of us, or perhaps our relatives who have children, would fancy putting their brand new baby into a food trough. The unique nature of his birth deepens as we think more about the story. His arrival has been foretold thousands of years ago by God himself through his word to the patriarchs and through his word to the prophets. 700 years before the event, Isaiah says, "The virgin will conceive and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." What does Emmanuel mean? Well, Matthew, whose gospel often focuses on how Jesus fulfills prophecy, he tells us about this. He says that this prophecy, although it was partially fulfilled in events that happened in the 8th century BC, when Isaiah actually spoke it, that's only part of the story. That prophecy, 700 years before Jesus was born, says he's coming. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. And Matthew kindly tells us, who don't know what that means, which means God with us. I want to bring you three words today. It's a typical Baptist minister's sermon. Three words. And the first one is, wow! How many W's do you want to put after? I only put one on the notes here, but there needs several. Wow! This baby is literally God with us. The creator, and we're told that Jesus is the creator of everything that is. Nothing that is was created other than by him. So the creator has become the created. The theological word is incarnation. God, who has spirit, has become flesh and blood. This is a mystery that is meant to blow our minds. I'm looking for people whose minds have a glazed, eyes have got a glazed expression as if their minds are being blown. This is meant to blow your mind. Nobody expected this. Nobody recognized this. I have to tell you, when I was a boy, what wasn't very long ago, I had a railway layout. And one of the best things about this railway layout was creating not just the track, but the stations, the platforms, putting grass around, little cork things that looked like mountains and you can put the train through them, signal boxes, people, dogs, whatever it was. And then you could lie down on the floor and get your eye at track level. And I could feel, oh, if only I could get in the train and go round my layout. That would be wonderful. That's what God did at Christmas. The creation, he now enters fully. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. He tabernacled himself amongst us. Tabernacle was a tent of meeting. Jesus becomes a baby. His tent is no longer glorious, you know, king reigning in heaven. It's now a baby. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. He came into our world fully immersed as one of us. He was no different to any one of us guys here, and very close to being any of the girls here. He was a baby. Often with babies, you can't tell, can you? If they've got some clothes on, you've no idea. And you have to be very careful with mums and dads, don't you? You try and spot pink or blue, and if it's yellow, is it a boy or a girl? It's really difficult. He came as a tiny, vulnerable baby boy. The creator and ruler of the universe becomes a child who cries, suckles, and sleeps. And I'd never thought about this before. Jesus slept for the first time. Our God is a God who neither slumbers nor sleeps. God has never had a sleep before. Jesus has never slept. This was the first time. I don't know, you're maybe not very enthused about that, but I'm very enthused about that. It's amazing. He must have woken up and thought, no, he didn't, he was a baby. He wouldn't have thought like that. So, wow. If you do nothing else at Christmas, spend a few moments. Wow. Wow. The second word is why. The answer comes from an angel. Matthew tells us that after Mary had told her fiancé Joseph that she was pregnant and that he was not the father, Joseph decides to break off the engagement. But it was more than that. It was a betrothal. It was a contract. He was due to marry her. And so it needed divorcing. It needed breaking. But this was not the end of the matter. Matthew's Gospel says this, "But after he'd considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.'" This baby is to be called Jesus. It's the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew name Joshua, which means "the Lord saves." God chooses to give him a Greek name rather than a Hebrew one, underlining the class that he's in, perhaps. Ordinary working class. The Hebrew was for the educated classes. Jesus was not one of the posh ones. But more importantly even than that, the reason why he was called Jesus, the Lord saves, is because he came to save the world. And having a Greek name underlines the fact that he came for the whole world. So I'm just going to move this microphone, because I think it's... Is that a bit better? Sorry about that. Jesus came to save the whole world. Greeks, non-Gentiles, Gentiles and Jews. God sees a world full of brokenness, broken people, broken relationships caused by our sin, our rebellion against God, insisting on doing things our way and not his. God sees that unless something is done, sin will separate us from him forever, which means death forever. God decides to do something about the brokenness of our world, and he carries out a plan that he prepared long ago. Jesus himself explains what this plan is. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus was born as a baby to save us from our sins. This little baby is living proof that God loves us and wants to save us. I'm really missing my little baby. Normally, on this service, we would have people dressed up as shepherds, wise men, and all sheep, and anything else you can think of. We might even have a third lobster. We'll have all sorts of people. And we would have a baby being chucked around in a manger, wouldn't we? That's what we would normally have. I'm really missing that. I'm sure you are as well. Jesus is living proof that God loves you and me and the whole world. So we've had wow. We've now heard why, and the last one is how. How is Jesus going to save us? He's been born as a baby. Nothing's happened yet. He's not done anything yet. There's all sorts of words spoken about who he is and what he's going to do. But how is he going to save the world? I've changed the order of these pictures during the week. This one here was at the end, and I put it deliberately here because this is how Jesus is going to save the world. 33 years after his birth, Jesus will allow himself to be arrested, tried, and nailed to a cross. He will take our brokenness into himself, our sins laid on his shoulders. He will become separated from his Father by our sins and suffer the penalty for our sins, dying for us. From that day on, all those who put their faith in Jesus received the gift of forgiveness for all their sins. And everybody who ever before asked God to forgive them, before Jesus died, that was the means by which their sins were forgiven. From that day on, all those who believe in his name, Jesus, the Lord says, are given the right to become adopted as children of God and become part of his family. Wow. In the news during the week, there was a program on the news about adoption and looking for parents for mixed race children to be adopted, because it was really difficult to find adoptive families for them and so on. The wonderful news about the gospel is that God chooses to adopt anyone and everyone who puts their faith in Jesus, no matter what their colour, their background, their intellect. That's why you have shepherds and wise men, opposite ends of the extreme in education terms. So whether you were secondary modern, grammar, comprehensive, never went to school because you ran away all the time, wherever you were, excluded, wherever you were, you're okay with Jesus. Sorry, can I just move that again? Looking back, we know that Jesus will die and rise again. But at the time, Mary and Joseph had not a clue as to what was going to happen. They couldn't understand the mystery of God's plan, and they didn't need to. They couldn't understand why there were visits from shepherds telling amazing stories of a heavenly choir of angels. They couldn't understand wise men coming hundreds of miles from the east to worship their son and give him precious gifts. They couldn't understand why King Herod wanted to kill their child. All they had to do is to do what they were told, which was to name their baby Jesus and to look after him, which they did. So, what's our response to all of this? What do we make of this? Can we understand what's going on? Can we see God's plan? Whilst Mary couldn't understand the mystery of incarnation, her response is a helpful one, I believe, for us. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And that's what I want to encourage you to do, both now in the rest of this service, but throughout Christmas. Treasure all these things for yourselves, in your heart. Ponder them. Take time. Whether this story is new to you or very old, we all need to take time to ponder and reflect on the wonder of God's love. If you've never received Jesus into your heart, if you've never put your faith in him, if you've never become adopted as his child, then I pray this will be your time to do it. This is your moment. Let's just take a moment to pray. Jesus, we thank you for coming to this world and to be born as a vulnerable, weak, helpless little baby, entrusted to two ordinary people. Thank you that you are living proof that the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit love us, and want us to become part of their family. Lord, we are sorry where we have ignored you, where we've tried to live life without you, struggling on our own in the dark. Lord, we want you to forgive us, to wash away all that sin. We thank you it's possible through the cross. And Lord, we want to live a new life with the life that you give us, a life that brings pleasure to you and blesses everyone else. Lord, I pray that you would come into our life afresh today by your Holy Spirit. Help us, Jesus, to follow you and live life to the full. Amen. Our next song is one to sit and reflect upon the wonder of the miracle of the Incarnation. Mary, did you know? This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Christmas is a time to celebrate the indescribable gift of God, Jesus Christ, and his gift to us of eternal life. This was how our beloved sister Gay lived. She died peacefully on Monday and is now with the Lord. Gay put her faith in Jesus. His peace guarded her heart and mind to the very end, and she made the most of every opportunity to witness to his grace. We know so many do not know Jesus. They do not have his gift of eternal life. They are without hope and are suffering, worried and afraid. Our prayer is that everyone may put their faith in Jesus, who says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Let's spend a moment now praying for others that we know are struggling, are suffering, who need the light of Jesus to shine on their life.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for all those who you touched in your lifetime. And we pray today that you will be touching people, that they may not really think that it's dark this Christmas, but they may see the light of the world, that you love them and you care for them. Lord, we just ask that people will just look to you this Christmas. Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we know that you care about each one of us and all the people we know. And we pray that today, while people are so disappointed and distraught about what they're going to do over Christmas, they forget the real meaning of Christmas. So help us in our way to tell people the real meaning of Christmas and to show those who are worried and concerned at not being able to see family and friends. Help us to tell them, if we see them or know them, about you. And we pray this in your precious name.
Amen. Lord, we pray particularly for those who have been holding on to Christmas as there's their hope, as the one time when they were going to be able to see those close to them, and for whom that has now changed. Lord, we pray that you would comfort them. You are the God of all comfort, and we pray that you would bring them comfort and hope in you. Amen.
pray for David and Rowena at this time when David is unwell and Rowena has injured herself, Lord, that you will give them your peace and your strength, Lord, and grant them your healing. Amen.
Amen. Just encourage you now, just in your imagination, to think of those who live around you. Perhaps people you see when you go on a regular walk or trip, you see the same people. Just hold those in your mind. One of those powerful pictures we saw on that song was of the blind man receiving his sight. And there is a sense in which we're told in Scripture, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the glory of God in the face of Christ. They cannot see the gospel. So pray to the Lord for him to open the eyes of those that have come into your own imagination now. Just in the choir. Lord, it would have seemed impossible for those people around seeing this man born blind to be healed, and yet you did. And those who live near us, those maybe we've talked with, those that we seem to think are so far away from you, forgive us for doubting that the gospel has the power to save even them. Lord, we pray that you would open the eyes of the blind, that they might see Jesus and know that you love them. Amen. Amen. We come to our final song. I'd encourage you to stand. If you've got a banner near you that you want to use, do grab it. We're going to be joining in with Hark the Herald Angels Sing. The angels are going to be singing even though we can't. Let's join in with this Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Thank you.
lead the blind by ways they've not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. I will turn darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. May God fulfill his promises to you this Christmas and throughout the new year. Amen.
Amen.